FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's August 21st, 2017, Eclipse Day officially. And when it comes to your personal finances, well, you want to avoid that total financial eclipse that could come about when you don't do things the right way. And Dee Carter, you're with us, president of the Carter Financial Group. And we're talking about avoiding the financial mistakes that your parents might have made. In other words, the child does not have to suffer the mistakes of the parent, certainly when it comes to their own finances. Dee, welcome to the show. And before we get started, email us kl@kerrylutz.com. Dee, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Kerry. I appreciate the invitation to be with you today. And I think it's a very interesting subject because I've been in the field doing what I do now for over 40 years here in West Texas, in Midland, Texas. And I deal with a lot of parents and even grandparents, actually. So we can sit in the office and actually hear what they've had to say about what I did wrong when I was doing it. And they would look at their children and their grandchildren and say, and don't do that. So this is kind of an interesting topic. It really is.
Yeah, very. And so what do you think the number one mistake is that your parents made planning their finances?
Yeah, everyone that I've talked to, almost without exception, Kerry, they've said the same thing. We went to the wrong person to get advice. They either went to their friendly banker, who, would, by the way, would be rather biased in what he would do or she would do. They went to their perhaps a CPA, someone of that sort, who was also fairly limited as to what they could give them in advice and recommendations. And then the biggest mistake they made, they looked at what the guy down the street was doing, and they fell into that herd instinct of following someone else's advice that really wasn't a professional at all, but it was someone that, they made a lot of money doing something special, so they wanted to at least take a look at what they were doing. I run across that probably more than any other thing is leaning on the neighbor, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And frankly, Mr. Jones may have done something that they couldn't even begin to think about doing.
And Mr. Jones might be totally wrong and off the wall and taking on more risk than he or you realize. And I guess it all comes down to risk reward. Do you have a client say, I wish I had taken a little more risk so I had made more off of my investments?
Well, of course, we probably all have run into that. I think more and more people are looking, are moving kind of away from the risk reward. I call it a threshold of pain here in West Texas. We really wanted to lead the people into an areas where they feel more comfortable, and depending upon what their goals are, and we see more and more people now moving toward the income side of investments as opposed to the growth, and getting away a lot from the higher risk because the reward is just not there, and it's possible, probably more than possible, it's likely that we, since we look a lot like we did back in 2008, which I think you would agree with that, Kerry, mm-hmm. That we're probably looking at a stock market downturn, and I think it's going to come sooner than later. So really what we're looking at now is don't make the mistakes I made by over investing in areas that I didn't really understand, in areas where the risk return was not as good as perhaps I should have done, and maybe perhaps pull your wings in a little bit, pull your things in, and start looking at perhaps something a little bit more secure for the future as opposed to these highly risk situations that they can get into. And in West Texas, they're everywhere. You just really got to be careful what you look at.
Right. So when you're looking at lowering your risk, and obviously that's a function of your age as well.
Sure.
What's the least risky investment you're putting people into?
Well, we're looking really right now at high-yield bonds, not bond funds. As you're aware, bond funds don't have a guaranteed interest rate, and they certainly don't have a guaranteed maturity date. So we're looking at perhaps high-yield bonds, and we've been very fortunate in being able to find some of that for our clients. We look at preferreds with the preferred stocks with the high yield as far as their return is concerned and the guaranteed dividends. We're looking at those. Some ETFs right now actually have some pretty interesting things out there right now. But you really have to be real careful. You have to be really careful what you're doing. You need to affiliate yourself with somebody that knows what they're doing and have been doing it for a good while. I don't think that you want to go out there and find a guy that just came out of school and is trying to cut his, make his mark on the financial industry by making people make millions of dollars. You really want somebody that says, hey, I've seen two or three of these downturns. I know how to go about it. We know what's out there. We know what we can do. And we can protect your downside and protect that nest egg, if you will, without having to extend yourself too far.
Yeah, well, that does make a lot of sense. Experience. Hey, we learn a lot of lessons through experience. And what do you think is the most important lesson that you've learned from your lengthy experience in the business here, Dee?
Probably the thing that I've learned is to listen to these people more. We have tried nearly everything over the 40 plus years I've been doing this. We went way back into the 50s. I mean, we went through that period of time in the early 60s. We just recovered basically from the depression. That we didn't recover from that till after the Korean War, actually. And people were just starting to put their money back into the market. We saw some upturns, downturns. We were in the market in that period of great time between 82 and 2000, which, by the way, is probably the best period of the stock market in the history of the market, actually. And we were there walking out on the edge and trying to put people in some areas that were at risk. But when we saw that, the profits to earnings ratio were getting up in double digit, 20 to 25 to 1, when we saw some of the things taking place in the real estate market where market prices were obviously overpriced and banks were loaning money to people, whether they had the money to pay the things back or not, just so they could own the property down the road, we started pulling in our horns a little bit and putting them into things that were a little bit more secure, a lot more secure, and things that they would have when they got down to the end of their life. Most of our parents, your parents, my grandparents, really didn't worry too much about the future, it appears. They really were out there thinking, well, Social Security's will take care of me. And if perhaps they were working for someone that had a pension plan, and those things were great, but what, 12, 18% of the companies now have the old style pension plan, not even that many probably. So we're in a whole different ballgame than we were just, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Sure. Totally different. The future looks very uncertain now. You think the American optimism is kind of dying here, or what's going on?
No, I think what's happening is not so much the optimism is dying. The time is kind of caught up with us. We forget. We have a great sense of the American people have the great ability to forget the pain of what's happened in the past. Unfortunately, that's not always the best way to go. I made a statement on my radio program this morning that if women didn't forget about the pain of childbirth, we'd all be single children. We'd all be only children. We have a tendency to forget what happened to us in the market and what happened to us in our investing. And unfortunately, right now, Kerry, I'm seeing some of the same things that happened in 2007 and 2008. People trying to get that next 5% that the market may have out there when they don't realize they may be risking a 25 to 30% loss. I don't want to really tell people that it's a good idea to go for the 5% if you've got a potential 25 to 30% loss. I wouldn't sit down at a casino table that said, if you'll bet $5, we'll give you 30 if you win, but if you lose, we're taking your 5. I don't see that. I just don't see that happening. So I think we're probably going to have to make some changes in our theory.
Interesting. And so if obviously a lot of where you put your money has to do with what age you are now,
sure,
and future plans and all that. But if you're somebody who just graduated from college, got a good job, you're able to put away a good portion of your income, what do you think that person should be doing?
Well, I think they ought to take, again, we get back to that risk tolerance thing. And I'm finding a lot of the younger people that we have coming in, the children and even grandchildren of my clients, are not nearly so, they're not as risk averse as they used to be. They literally now have a grandfather or father complex. They're looking at what their moms and dads did and said, I don't want to lose this kind of money. And they're more conservative today than they were 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I'd have people coming in and they'd want to invest in oil situations where they're going out and drilling wildcats, which, by the way, they don't do that anymore. If the oil's not there, they don't even bother drilling a well anymore.
Right.
But they would go out and try that. Now, more of the young people are coming in with a much more conservative attitude. They're saying, I would like to make a good return, but I don't want to really risk as much of my principal as I might have. I saw mom and dad lose this kind of money 20 years ago. I don't want to do that. They're going along with the Buffett routine. I think Buffett has some of the greatest principles of investing that you're ever going to read. I've read his books, and his number one principle was never risk your principal, if at all possible. Leave mm-hmm. your principle intact. And number two principle of his was never forget principle number one. So we're seeing more and more, even younger people coming in and saying, hey, I'm not so concerned about the return on my money as the return of my money, to quote Will Rogers. And I see more and more of that now. And it's kind of an interesting dichotomy. We saw their mothers and dads take really bigger risks now than some of the young people are taking. And it may be because they saw some of the losses in 2000 and in 2007 and 2008. They were young enough to remember that, and they're just not willing to take that kind of risk any longer. Now, having said that, there's some things out there we need to push them into and at least give them some opportunities to make a higher return within the framework of the risk tolerance that they have. And there's still some good opportunities out there for those younger people.
Yeah, absolutely. So things have changed, times have changed, and I guess you have to constantly keep up on these things to make sure that you put your clients in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's a day go by that we don't read something, study something. I've got all over my wall all kind of diplomas that said that I've studied these areas, and we continue to do so. I don't think anyone that's in the business, and this is one of the things that kind of concerns me most, is that people in the business sometimes feel like we have arrived, therefore we know it all. That's not the case at all. There are still things to learn every day, and I think aligning yourself with the right people, aligning yourself with the people that can analyze the market at a really, and have been doing it for years and have had a good track record, that's extremely important to an advisor. And I recommend my clients, I go buy a book that my business associate Dave Scranton wrote about a year ago about return on principal. And there's a whole chapter in that book on questions you should ask your advisor. And mm-hmm. I tell my clients, if I couldn't answer the questions, I obviously wouldn't recommend the book. But at the same time, we need to be able to answer the questions that the client has when they come in. And if they don't ask the question, may I suggest that mm-hmm. one of the biggest weaknesses I see in clients today is they don't know which questions to ask. Yeah. They haven't been educated enough. So ask the question for them, for crying out loud, and be willing to give them the proper answer. That's the least we can do. That's our diligence, if nothing else.
Hey, that's a great point, T. Dave, people want to find out more about you, what you're doing, writing. Where's the best place to find you?
They can go online, actually, and Google me anywhere, D. Carter of the Carter Financial Group in Midland, Texas, and you'll see me pop up there anywhere. I'm also a member of the Advisors Academy. You can go to advisorsacademy.com and pick up on that. It'll list all of our advisors and our locations. We're located all over the country, but I'm the only one in West Texas that I know of. We have a guy in Houston, I think, but that's the best way to get us. Go to the advisorsacademy.com or go to D. Carter Financial or the Carter Financial Group. Take a look. And see where we are and see what we're doing. And if you're in our area, we'd love to talk with you.
All right. And if you got any questions, comments for Dave, myself, or anyone else you heard on the show, email us at kl@carrylutz.com. Busy catching up on the emails today, long weekend. And the Facebook group is, Facebook page rather, is Financial Survival Network. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz. D, thank you so much for coming on. It's truly a pleasure. And talk to you soon.
I look forward to visiting with you again soon. Thanks for the invitation.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.